from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everybody. A happy Monday to you and also to you. Appreciate everybody listening on ESPN 1320. So appreciate everybody listening on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, everybody tapping in on ESPN 1320 TV, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, and youtube.com/ESPN1320. Appreciate y'all who are with us here on a Monday, May 6th. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Kyle.
How are you?
Doing all right. Fair to middling, I would say.
Did you watch the Kentucky Derby? We did a whole bit about the Kentucky Derby, and then when we got done with the bit, we were both like, eh, probably not going to tap in.
I went back over to see what was happening, and it just finished.
Mm.
And it was weird. Like, there are a bunch of people, like, milling around on the track, and
sure.
I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Then I saw the photo finish.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, like, that was really, really, like, closely contested.
I'm sure it was very exciting to watch. I didn't catch any of it.
Yeah.
Kentucky Derby, perfect social media sport. Show me who won.
That's right.
All I need. So I mean, no, I know that there's ins and outs of things like horse racing. There's a lot of sports like this, right? There's a sport like baseball. Played a lot growing up. I understand that sport on a different level than I understand other sports, right? On a just better level.
Yeah.
Then there's sports like horse racing where I just have no idea. I couldn't tell you if a jockey did a good job or a bad job, or if a horse ran a good race or a bad race. I've got nothing for you. As far as I know, it's just the horses. They just run. And I know it's more nuanced than that. But to me, it seems like, yeah, hey, whoever the fastest horse is going to win.
I think that's the case. I also think that there is nuance to, like, when, depending on the horse and depending on the rider, like, when you let them, like, take off, like, to reserve some of their energy and then, mm-hmm. and then, you know, hit it.
Sure.
Because some horses, like, can burn themselves out.
Sure.
Like, they get too excited.
Right.
And so you have to hold them back, and then
right.
boom, you got to go.
No, I understand that that's all a thing. I couldn't tell you who is doing a good or bad job of it.
Okay.
I just have no idea.
No,
I've got nothing.
I think that's fair. I think that's very fair. And the only way I would know it is if the commentator is literally telling me while we're, like, in the middle of it.
Yes.
So, Kyle, I went to, I was in Siena, Italy one summer,
mm-hmm.
and we went to the Palio, which is it's a crazy horse race. So it's basically the equivalent of running with the bulls in Pamplona, but for Italy. So they have this town square. They bring in dirt that is the same dirt that they've been bringing in for hundreds of years. They lay a track of dirt around the city square. And then if you get there early, you pile into the middle of the square. And then it's wild. So they have like 16 contradas, which are basically like little groups, little parts of the city. So like the Bronx or whatever.
Villages, boroughs.
Yeah. So, and then they draw, and I think only 11 get to race, right? And then
11 of these boroughs.
11 of these boroughs. Okay. And then on top of that, they don't get their own horse. All the horses are trained and are together. So there's another drawing, and you, then you get the horse that you, you know, whatever ranking horse.
You get to draft the horses?
No, you don't get to draft. It's just like you get stuck with whatever horse you get.
Okay,
right?
So Brooklyn gets horse one.
Yes, okay, exactly. So then on top of that, it's a free-for-all for the jockey. So whoever can collect the most money in their little community and pay for the best jockey, they get to like pay for the best jockey. The jockeys switch, right? So they all have their contradas, and they all have their flags and their colors and all this stuff. And then it is literally just wild. So in Siena, there's a giant
tower. Hang on. So you can go get a jockey from any contrada.
Yes. You can. Well, they're free agents. They are. The jockeys are free agents, and they go to the highest bidder.
Okay.
So there's one corner where it's too tight, and it's kind of like it goes down and takes a right. And so they have mattresses set up all along the wall, and it's no holds bar. Anything is legal. Like, people are like knocking each other off the horse, and it's bareback. Like, it's like there is no saddle. So these dudes are like going wild, and it's two laps around the city square. So I actually got to I was at the finish line.
Incredible.
Holding on to the rail because all the locals want to be at the finish line. And so they're trying to rip me off the rail. I'm holding on. My wife and our friends got pushed way out into the middle of the crowd, and I'm holding onto the rail with a camera, like click, click, click. And I'm watching this thing. And as soon as, you know, and it doesn't matter if the rider finishes or not, it's all about the horse. So I think the race we're in, the horse finished first. And then these Italian people they go crazy. They're jumping over the rail. They're climbing over the top of me. I'm throwing people over this rail. They're running out in front of the horses that are still coming. The horses are still flying, and like guys are out there crying, and all of a sudden they like wake up and they're dodging horses that are coming up. It is absolutely insane. So it's called the Palio. I highly recommend it. It was like, it was one of those events that you go to like maybe once or twice in your life.
Sure.
And then you can get like expensive seats on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the middle was wild. And like I was at the finish line, like with my camera, leaning over the rail.
Ditching your
pictures.
Wife and your friends as they went back into the mass of people.
They just got pulled back. Like I couldn't even see where they went. Yeah, it was
That's
wild.
That's concerning.
Yeah, it was wild.
Man.
So
sounds like it.
There's 10,000 people in the middle of this little town square. Yeah, it's good stuff though.
So yeah, it sounds like a great time.
Like that's a real horse race, not like these contrived like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Kentucky Derby is just a classic, just blank show.
Yeah.
Just a total joke, right?
Yeah.
Preakness.
They're only there for the mint juleps, man.
mint juleps and funny hats. Speaking of jokes. One NBA game on yesterday. It was a game 7 between the Cavaliers and Magic. Yeah, that's right. Round 1 wasn't done yet, even though round 2 had started. It's fine. Game 7, Cavs Magic, 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
Weird.
Only game.
Why would they do it at 10? I was confused.
Like, I didn't hate it because, yeah, you know, you wake up, you get some errands done, and then you sit down and there's basketball on. It was great. And then the game's over and it's 12:30.
Yeah.
And you got a whole day. But also, I'm just so accustomed to an early NBA game, meaning there's more NBA games after. Why would you not start Knicks Pacers yesterday? Why would you not start Thunder and Mavericks yesterday?
And it's almost like you lined it up to do that.
Yes.
It felt like you lined it up to do that. Like, why are we getting to game 2 of the Timberwolves Nuggets tonight? And there's another series that won't start until Tuesday, right?
Game 1 of Mavs Thunder. There will be 2 games down in Nuggets Timberwolves before the Thunder and the Mavericks play. Mm. The Thunder will have not played in like 8 days. It feels like you could have done game 2 of
yeah,
or game 1 of Thunder and Mavericks yesterday. or at least Knicks Pacers. I don't know. I don't. There's smarter people than me making those decisions,
I guess.
But woke up and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. There's a game 7 today. I wonder what other games are on. Nope, nothing. At 12:30, your day is going to be done for basketball.
Yeah, that's
enjoy
wild.
Some baseball, which I did.
Okay, but I watched a little baseball.
Yeah,
I thought that the Orlando Cavs game. It was just like really odd. Like it was a tale of two halves.
The whole series was weird.
Yeah, the whole series was kind of yuck.
It felt like two teams that aren't quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
One team in the Magic that is ascending, and you're like, man, they're a piece or two away. And then you have a team like the Cavs that feels like it's flatlining a little bit.
Yeah.
Where, hey, they're not necessarily a piece or two away. They're probably going to have to blow this thing up in some respect. And they were duking it out for the right to get thumped by the Celtics. Just a weird, like, you want to win the playoff series because you want to win every series you're in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it didn't feel like there were any stakes because we know the outcome of the second round.
I would totally agree with you, and I think we know the outcome of like a couple of these games already. Like, I don't think that there's any way the Pacers are going to hang with the Knicks.
Yeah,
they might win a game. I don't know. I'm sure we'll get to that later.
Get a couple.
Yeah, maybe. I would also say, like, watching the Cavs have the superstar. That's like that Donovan Mitchell like caught fire in the third quarter and just carried them to victory.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else about that team is just like it just feels like it's a bunch of players who never developed. Like, mm-hmm. I'm watching Evan Mobley, which is one of my favorite players.
I loved him, dude.
Loved him. And he just, like, looks like he's not good at all. And Isaac Okoro, I'm like, I loved him coming into the draft. Never, ever developed there
He's just kind of a guy.
He's just a dude.
He was better in Game 7 than he was in Game 6, but still, you weren't blown away by Isaac Okoro at any point in that series.
No, I mean, the one thing he did do, he took that charge against Paolo Banchero, which was tough.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I was just like, okay.
Caris LeVert was their second best player yesterday.
Yeah, and I've never been a fan of Caris LeVert.
No.
Like, he watches his dribble. Like, he has to watch his hand while he dribbles. Like, he doesn't ever look up at
tough shots.
He makes tough shots, but he never once... Yeah. Looks up at anyone else. I mean, yeah, it's like Cam Thomas.
He is ideally on a good team. He's probably like an eighth or ninth guy, Caris LeVert.
Yeah.
And he's the Cavs' second best player in a game 7. Tristan Thompson, I know Jared Allen is hurt, and that's the reason for this, but Tristan Thompson was out there like making plays.
Mm.
And the fact that he's not only on the court, but you're like, yeah, hey, take it on the baseline and make something happen. Oof. Darius Garland was a mess. That first half, I didn't think the Cavs had any shot.
They had nothing.
The Magic started missing some, and Donovan Mitchell went nuts, and here we are.
Yeah, that's wild.
Just a ridiculous game. Cavs win 106-94. They move on to face the Boston Celtics in round 2. I don't know what to do with Donovan Mitchell, man. I like Donovan Mitchell a lot. I think he's a really good player. But I don't think he can be your best guy.
I think it's possible he could be your best guy, or like the equivalent of a Paul George. But at the same time, like he needs to leave there. That team is like 2 years away from 2 years away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter what they do in the regular season. You can just see that like the talent is not developing. And I know Jared Allen wasn't there, and that would change things. But it doesn't matter. They aren't good enough. And even with like a really good scoring guard next to him, with some defensive pieces, Max Strus is hitting some shots.
Yeah.
They just feel like they're just bleh. Like, you put them in the West and they're like the 11th or 12th.
They are so not fun to watch.
Yeah. Maybe they would be 11 or 12th. Maybe they'd be 9, 10. But I don't know. They just don't feel like they're that good.
No. I'm right there with you, man. They have a bunch of guys who, in theory, like, oh yeah, this could work. Mm-hmm. Oh, Evan Mobley, he can really move, and Jared Allen is developing really nicely, and you can play him at the same time. That works. And oh man, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland. Like, Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland should be one of the best backcourts in the league.
Yeah.
They just can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And that feels like the duo in the front court with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Those guys just can't quite figure it out. Isaac Okoro can't quite figure it out. Man.
Yeah, there's too many of them, and like that's why you like having a group of young players never really, really works, unless you're Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they've got some tough decisions to make.
So as teams start leaving the postseason, we will be taking a look at them and going, "Hey, are they going to blow it up? And if they do, how can the Kings take advantage?" We will do that today. We will talk about some of the head coach openings in the NBA. We'll talk a little bit of baseball as well. Plenty of Kings, plenty of NBA playoffs coming up right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. If you want to join the program, we've got somebody on the line right now who we will get to shortly if you're not familiar with how calls work on this show, because it is just me and James. We don't have a call screener. When you call in, it'll just ring until we can hit the button that puts you on, and then you will hear us talking, and then we will address you and welcome you into the show. So caller, hang on the line. We'll get to you in just a moment. James, you brought up Darius Garland during the break. And that's a player that I know the Cavs have moved on, but man, he really struggled in that game seven. I don't know. I hit my buddy who is around the Cavs and asked him a while ago, you know, hey, they're going to trade one of these guys. What's the deal? And he said, yeah, they probably won't trade him. I think Donovan Mitchell is getting an extension and they like Darius Garland a lot and those two can coexist. And I don't know that they can.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. You know, there was a point where, you know, he made an all-star team and it feels like, I don't want to say he's regressed, but I would say that I don't think that that's a perfect marriage. It does kind of have that, either you got to stagger them more
exactly.
and allow one of them to take over and the other one to take over.
Mm-hmm.
Or you need to move one to the bench or, or you have to move away from one. It feels like Darius Garland would be much better with a pure shooter next to him.
Yep.
And I would say Donovan Mitchell would be better with a pure defensive player who can shoot it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
I just think that there's like a little bit of weirdness there because they're both starting. And when you're both starting, it just makes it hard. That's why I keep telling people, like, why don't you just give Malik Monk the starting shooting guard spot? It's like, well, because he's going to have more opportunity off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he always will. Like,
right.
He's got the opportunity to shoot 13, 14, 15 times a game, but not in the starting lineup.
Yep.
You know, that's the problem. And it's why, you know, guys like Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes are taking this step backwards because there just aren't enough shots in the starting unit like one you're playing. And so I kind of feel that. And I also feel like by having two guys that are like that in the starting lineup, you're really, really constricting who Evan Mobley can be.
Yeah.
Or, you know, again, I think
it's everybody standing around and watching.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think a perfect role would have been if they would have, like, first of all, worked with Isaac Okoro and got him to be better as a three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But also if they would have sort of like played him alongside Donovan in the backcourt where you just had like two road graders, two guys that like, well, first of all, he's a bigger, stronger, you know, like.
I thought that he could be a player that like OG Anunoby turned into where he's just a dogged defender.
Yeah.
I think he's a little smaller than Anunoby.
Yeah, he's 6'5".
But still, like, just a really good defender, can knock down a three, and he just hasn't developed like that.
I mean, he shot 39% from three this season, so it's there, but just the opportunity isn't there. He's only playing 27 minutes a night,
Go watch how many threes he passed up in game six, too.
Oof.
He's just not been empowered to be an offensive threat.
I don't know, maybe he is a player that you would look at if you're a team like the Kings, though, because he's at the end of his rookie scale deal, and I don't think they've extended him, and so he's going to go into this summer as a restricted free agent. I like him. I think that, you know, in the right situation, you might be able to build something with him, but I'm not sure about that, and it's tough.
I like Isaac Okoro specifically for a lot of the same reasons, and again, we're talking about the Cavs because they played yesterday in their Game 7 with the Magic, beating them 106-94. Just talking about, you know, what those teams look like and can the Kings, you know, take advantage of that this summer if they're going to make any changes to their roster.
And I would take a flyer on a player like Isaac Okoro the same way they took a flyer on Chris Duarte. Mm. The Chris Duarte thing didn't work out, but defensive-minded players who can maybe stand in the corner and knock down a three for you offensively,
yeah,
who teams have to guard credibly, I would take a flyer on that potential every single day of the week.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to get in free agency either.
Yeah,
like, we're talking about a guy who averaged 9 points a game. You brought up, who did you compare him to?
OG.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I always thought of him coming into the draft as an Andre Iguodala type.
Mm, sure, sure, sure.
You know, just a guy who multi-positional, can defend 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Even like at the 4 in some cases, because he's built like a fours. Linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he weighs 225.
Yeah, he's a tank.
So, yeah, I don't know. He's definitely one of those guys I would put on my list of like, hey, could we find a long-term answer at the 3 or at the 2 here? And I would just say he's like a bigger, stronger, like Keon Ellis, and like very good defensive instincts, but like how much you have to pay for that. And yeah, it's always going to be the question.
Yeah, but definitely have to come at not a major cost. 916-909-1320. If you want to join the show, that is 916-909-1320. Caller, you are live on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Big E from Woodland.
Big E, appreciate you for hanging on. What do you want to say?
Two-part question. What do you guys think about the physicality thus far that the refs have allowed in the playoffs? And the second part would be, do you think the teams that I guess you could say are free throw merchants that are out have been exposed? And my examples would be the Suns and the Lakers. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We're going to give you the answer on the air. Just FYI.
All right.
He's going to be off the air. We will continue being on the air.
Okay.
My buddy Dan Dibley is a host at 95.7 The Game. He hated when people said that.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, off the air? Okay, give me your address. We'll come chat after the show, I guess. Anyways. Physicality's been great. I think that I always prefer fewer calls to more calls. Even when it's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope hacking Anthony Edwards on both arms and not getting whistled for it.
Yeah.
I'll take that every day over, like, I can live with that over phantom, you know, guy tosses his head back because the player's hand was over here when he started to drive. And so he throws his head back and throws the ball in the air and he gets a foul call. I hate that.
Here's what I've loved
the physicality.
Yeah. I love the physicality too, but here's what I would say. The best player in the first half of the Cavs Magic game was Bill Kennedy. Like, I just thought, like, it was Bill Kennedy's show. And I was watching Bill Kennedy just, like, take over. And was like, hey, I'm not sure why the official is calling every single. And the Cavs were getting so frustrated. The second we get to halftime and they stopped blowing the whistle every play, the Cavs ran them over.
Yep.
Like, what they were doing was taking the Cavs so far out of their game. And part of it was because Banchero was being so aggressive. But then in the second half, they just didn't get any of the same calls. And so it became like, but just call it straight up. Like, it's kind of like we've talked about this. If you're going to call the high strike, call it the whole game.
Sure.
Don't wait until the third inning and all of a sudden start calling the high strike and punching people out. Because then you're going to have like a riot on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone's getting tossed and people are yelling at you the whole time. Like, as long as you're consistent with it, that's fine. And I almost felt like the whole first half was like whistle, 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 whistle. And it's like, first of all, no one wants to watch this game anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly nobody wants to watch the game to see Bill Kennedy take over.
Not at all.
Then we get to the second half. It's like, okay, like, we're done. You guys go. And it was just a Cav, boom, 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 and ran him off the court.
It's just more fun that way. On the discussion point of free throw merchants in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of something to that, like the Lakers being out and the 76ers, specifically Joel Embiid being out. I don't think that has to do with the free throw grifting stuff, because the Lakers were never that good this year. The 76ers were never that good this year.
The Suns weren't either.
The Suns were the other team, yeah. Yeah, we're not that good this year.
And two of the biggest grifters of all time are still in. So SGA and Luka Doncic. Yeah. Are still in, yeah. So
but
I get it.
You'll see that physicality get cranked up in the second round, and I'm interested to see if Shea continues getting whistles. And like Donovan Mitchell went to the free throw line, what, like 17 times, 18 times yesterday? Paolo Banchero, same thing. Like the free throws were there to be had. But I prefer in the playoffs, it's not the number of free throws, because if a player gets fouled, a player gets fouled. It's the number of free throws that come via player doesn't have anything to do on offense, so what they're going to do is try to draw a foul. Whereas in the playoffs, it feels like, hey, player trying to go to the bucket gets fouled while trying to go to the rim, not sticking his arms out and trying to get hacked.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference for me. I think players aiming for foul calls get rewarded less in the playoffs, which is something I like.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't think that has anything to do with the results so far.
I don't. And if you go back and look, a lot of it's the three-point shooting disparities. The teams that were not good three-point shooting teams have all been bounced.
That's it.
I really.
Like in the modern NBA, you have to be able to knock down your threes.
Yep.
We'll continue this discussion about the NBA postseason. If you want to join us, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. That is the Farmer's Dog talk line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. We'll continue talking about the NBA playoffs, players who may be available for the Kings, including Brandon Ingram. His name came up over the weekend. We'll talk about whether he is a possibility for Sacramento coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. Thank you everybody for hanging out with us on a Monday. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D-Lo and KC right here on Sacramento's Sports Leader. there are so many names that are going to come up in connection with the Kings this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Monk obviously awaiting his decision, which will not come for another couple of months here. But you're going to hear every name from Paul George to Jimmy Butler, who came up in the chatty house, who we will talk about, to Brandon Ingram, who came up over the weekend, because there was a report, I believe from The Athletic, that the Pelicans are not going to extend Brandon Ingram and instead are going to look to move him for another superstar to pair along Zion Williamson. So they are committing long-term to Zion, conceivably committing long-term to Zion this summer and getting Brandon Ingram out of the mix. Let's forget financials and what it would take to get him. We'll do all of that here in a second. How do you feel about the fit for Brandon Ingram with the Kings? Just with the roster, let's pretend he is picked up and dropped onto their roster as is.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect fit. Like, mm-hmm. I like Brandon Ingram as a player. I'm a little leery about his injury issues, just like everybody else should be.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a one-year deal remaining. He's extension eligible this summer. And I'm always concerned with how much is a player like that going to cost. And what does he look like on your team? So I think the problem is, if you had Brandon Ingram on a two-year deal, you could conceivably have him on your squad, assess what he looks like on your squad, and then extend him accordingly, mm-hmm. right? Use your what you now know. You need to collect more data on what he would look like on your team
mm-hmm.
Before giving him just a massive, like, $200 million extension. I'm not sure that he's that player, and that's always been my question with him. He's young. He fits the player arc. He's 26. He'll be 27 in September, so before the season starts, which is right in line with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. Sabonis turned 28 late last week. But I'm always, like, I think he fits. He's the type of guy who can create for himself. He's the type of guy that can shoot over players. I just worry that he's not always, like, fully engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough, because there's a reason why that team flames out every year. And part of it is because Zion is always hurt.
Yeah.
But part of it is also because Brandon Ingram isn't able to, in certain situations, elevate himself and you know, take the next step. And I think he's probably a really good second/third, like, as far as, like, best
scoring
players.
Options?
No, scoring options, he's going to be your second scoring option, mm-hmm. right? But I also think, like, if you're looking at best players, it would still, if he was to join the Kings, I would still have it be Fox, Sabonis, and then Ingram mm-hmm. with Keegan Murray being the fourth. I think if there's a way to get him and there's a way to upset your top three and push Keegan Murray to number four, and then if you're able to get Malik Monk back, now Monk is your five, now you're cooking,
mm-hmm.
right? That's going to be an exceptional team. It should mm-hmm. be, at least. But there are also the issues, like, you know, he doesn't play a full season ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even this year, he didn't get to the 65 games.
Mm-hmm.
He finished with 64, but it's, you know, 45, 55. He is a little injury prone. And I also don't think he's the 24.7 points per game he was last year, as much as he is more closer to maybe the 22.7 mm-hmm. he was a year before that. So, I think he's a really good player. I don't think he'll age well. Just because he hasn't been able to stay on the court already.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a concern. And also my other concern is just the sheer dollar amount you're going to have to give him in an extension.
It's going to be a lot of money.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're talking like a $35 million a year guy, that's one thing. But if you're talking, you know, a four-year $200,
right,
that's a lot more money. And that constricts who you are moving forward for a long time.
So I love the idea with Brandon Ingram, as particularly in a crunch time situation where you need, you know what, hey, forget the offense. This is going to be De'Aaron Fox. He's got the ball in his hands. He's breaking down the defense. I think they need a second go-to guy in those situations. And having another player like Brandon Ingram, who's going to create his own shots, he can shoot over basically any defender, in the league. He actually plays some defense when he's dialed in on that end. He can be a good defender. Like, all in theory, that's great. My biggest question is, when the Kings are running their offense, is he relegated to the corner? Is he executing dribble handoffs? Are teams going to be scared of him as a three-point threat coming off that dribble handoff?
Mm-hmm.
Is he hanging out on the wing? Is he in the dunker spot? Like, what is he? That's where my questions come in and how exactly he would look. I think there would be some work to do offensively to really get him into the flow, because it is so Sabonis Fox dominant. I wonder how Ingram would, one, take to that, and two, how he would be integrated, because I don't think he's taken DHOs and shooting off of them.
Well, I think he probably could do that. You know, he's a smart basketball player. He's actually a very, very talented player.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also, like, if you had him and Keegan Murray as your starting forwards, the versatility, the switchability there would be incredible. I think it would probably slow the growth of Keegan as an offensive player.
No doubt.
And, you know, you're looking at a guy who basically would probably cap out at 17, 18 points a game, just because he's not going to get the volume of mm-hmm. shots that you would hope. But I also think that there's a world in which Keegan Murray becomes, you know, equal to or greater than Brandon Ingram as a player.
Sure.
And that's for a couple of, I don't think Keegan's going to average 24.5 points a game at some point in his career. He could. But I think Keegan is a better defender, a better fit in your system.
Yeah.
But you need that other element, which is, you know, the playmaker, the guy who can actually attack and take people off the dribble, because that's the modern NBA. And again, you look at Ingram at 5.7 assists per game this year, 5.8, 5.6. He's a guy who can make plays for others. And so there is that other element mm-hmm. that the Kings lack, when we talked about, you know, losing 25 points per game from Herter and Monk,
mm-hmm.
but you also lost 7.7 assists when those two went down.
Yeah.
And the team just could not create for Domantas Sabonis. Mm-hmm. So I would be intrigued to see what he looks like in a two-man game with Sabonis, and I would be intrigued as what he looks like running alongside De'Aaron Fox on breaks and stuff. I think you could actually find something really good there, but I think it's going to be very, very difficult to be competitive when chasing a player like that.
Right, and that's where all of this kind of turns.
Yeah.
Because you talked about this world where, yeah, hey, Malik Monk comes back and you're putting him alongside Keegan Murray, because that's what we're doing. Hey, how does he fit? Just forget who's there, who's not. How does he fit with the Kings specifically? But I think the big thing that sticks out to me with Brandon Ingram specifically is, in that report over the weekend, it was that the Pelicans are looking for another star to pair with Zion Williamson. And to me, that says, yeah, hey, whatever makes the money work, Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes or Chris Duarte or whoever, whatever makes that money work isn't what they're looking for. They're not looking to just dump Brandon Ingram. They're looking to move him for a big piece, which is where I think Keegan Murray would have to be on the table, which is where I think this ends.
Okay. I don't disagree with you there. Like, they would love to get their hands on Keegan Murray, but I think one of the biggest reasons why they're looking to move Ingram is because they don't want to pay him. And mm-hmm. they want to pay Trey Murphy. And right. so they have this issue that they have a younger player who plays more games, who's more reliable,
mm-hmm.
who's developing very quickly at the same position. And they're like, okay, it might open the door. Now, they have an issue that Valanciunas is a free agent, and they're going to have to figure out how to replace the center position moving forward. And they don't believe he's the guy, because we saw that at the deadline where they were already kind of pushing the button on this exact thing, where we saw conversations where they were trying to pitch Brandon Ingram or one of these players to the Cavs for Jared Allen. I'm going to guess that that's where they're going to go again. I don't even think it's at the Kings. It's not that they don't have, like, the talent to trade or the draft mm-hmm. capital to trade to get Ingram. It might be very specific that they need a center and you don't have a center. And there's a possibility,
so you're willing to deal.
Yeah, so there's a possibility to get into a three-way trade for sure,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you're able to take on Ingram and they're able to get a center that makes sense for them, and you're able to like give draft capital to a team that mm-hmm. is looking to reset or something.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's extremely complicated, and I think it's going to be difficult for the Kings to be competitive trying to chase him.
I agree. Yeah. I'm right there with you. And I think you just explained the Pelicans are looking to move on from Brandon Ingram because they want to commit to Trey Murphy. They like his development at the same position.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that paying Brandon Ingram is going to get in the way of Trey Murphy.
Yes.
Could you not substitute that exact same conversation with Keegan Murray's name instead of Trey Murphy?
Yeah. I mean, totally. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. That if you're the Kings, you're going to run into the same problem they are.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, this is the problem. No one wants to be, we keep saying this, no one wants to be the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
They basically, like, you know, Thelma and Louise the thing off a cliff.
It's crazy.
You know, bringing in all these guys thinking that they had a team that could go win it.
It's insane.
And bringing in Bogdanovich and Gallinari and all these players in one offseason.
Going to the conference finals is the worst thing that could have happened to the Hawks.
Totally. Totally. And everyone around the, like, you don't want to be that team mm-hmm. because then they have to peddle their players for pennies. Right? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's happened down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Kings are they have to have a 1 year plan, but they have to have a 2 year plan and a 5 year mm-hmm. plan. All of these things have to line up.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, the cap's going to go up, but it's only going to go up 10% a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like you're just going to have like this moment where all this money is available. It may mean something different for the luxury tax
mm-hmm.
for sure, but I still think that the Kings are going to, you know, they've got to be cognizant of what every move they make today means for them 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. And you always say the Jerry Reynolds phrase, if you have a 5 year plan, you don't have a plan.
Yeah, you have no plan at all.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not to say you need to have a 2, 3, 4, 5 year plan, meaning you don't have a plan for now. That's flexible down the road.
Yeah.
You have to be malleable as circumstances change.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that if somebody wants to make the argument that, yeah, the Kings, everything should be on the table, they should try for a championship this year, I guess, but that has not proved conducive to winning. So I think that the plan this year has to be, we've talked about this a million times, staying the course as much as humanly possible. There's going to be a little bit of deviation, mm-hmm. but doing something like, yeah, hey, let's bring in Brandon Ingram and ship out Keegan Murray, that doesn't track with either now or the next 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Well, that, and you have to look at Ingram is going into his third contract, right? And the difference is that Keegan is going into his second contract. So even if Keegan becomes who everyone thinks he can be, and he takes this massive leap and the Kings give him a full extension,
mm-hmm.
like not this summer, but next summer, you're still looking at basically a starting salary of $30 million. That's not the case with Ingram. Ingram is on a much higher scale deal because he's older and because he's mm-hmm. in his third contract. So again, $200 million isn't off the table at all mm-hmm. versus $140 million. So again, one player is much more affordable. And sort of to tie this into like how the Kings, you know, you have to have a 1 year plan, you have to have a 2 year plan, you have to have a 3 year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Make no mistake, the Kings last offseason, when they decided, even the year before, when they decided to trade for Kevin Huerter,
mm-hmm.
and then they decide to sign Harrison Barnes to his extension, his 3 year extension,
mm-hmm.
you have to look that both of those deals end the day that Keegan Murray's new contract starts.
Yeah.
So no matter what, you're going to have roughly $38, $39 million falling off the books the day that Keegan Murray's $30 million
mm-hmm.
contract like kicks in. And so there's always this give and take. There is a long-term and a short-term plan
mm-hmm.
with all of these players, and that's how you team build. I mean, you can't just go all in because then you run into this moment where you can't afford the talent that you have. And mm-hmm. if you can't afford it, it's going to be $200 million in payroll. And sure, you can sign your own guys to extensions and use the Larry Bird clause,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you're pushing yourself so far into the luxury tax and the new rules, the first apron, the second apron, they're so constrictive
yeah.
that you're going to end up giving up first round picks. And you know the second apron is, I think it's $17.5 million above the luxury tax. So the luxury tax is $172. That means the second apron is going to be like $189.5.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings could conceivably get to that. Like, without even, I mean, not without even trying, but they could conceivably get to that, not maybe this offseason, but next offseason, where mm-hmm. they went all in right now and then had to pay a guy like Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. And then next thing, you got to pay this guy and this guy and this guy. And that's not where you want to be unless you're a true contender and you have a team that is great and you're going to get a huge amount of that money back by going deeper and deeper and right, deeper into right. the playoffs. And that's tough.
And that's where my problem with Brandon Ingram arises. I don't think he's bad. I think he's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's a $50 million a year player. Yeah. And I think that the level that you need to get to with your roster around Brandon Ingram is higher than his salary would allow you to afford. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, if you're paying him 50, it makes it really hard to build a team around him that can win a title.
Well, the problem is you're paying him 50, you're paying Fox 50, 60, 70, mm-hmm. and you're paying, you know, Sabonis 40, 45, right. 50. There's a moment where you can't do it anymore. Where
right. You and now you're bringing in these minimum scale guys who probably shouldn't be playing NBA minutes, who are starting.
Well, it goes from like a guy like Keon Ellis not just being like a nice find, but being like a complete necessity for yes. you to survive. yes. And that's what, you know, right now it's a good not story. But if he's like your only option and like that's what he's got to be great,
mm-hmm.
then that makes it a lot more complicated to improve and to, you know, kind of move forward.
I'm adding Brandon Ingram to the list of players I am out on for the Kings.
Okay.
Like, not because of what he does on the court, like what he does between the lines, I totally get it. But A, I do have questions about what he would look like in their offense and if he would be fine if he is not touching the ball as often as he might like.
Mm-hmm.
And B, you have to factor in all the financial stuff that comes with it. And when you start looking at, okay, this year, okay, maybe they're better. Maybe they're 50-plus wins with Brandon Ingram. And maybe they're making a little noise in the playoffs. But 2, 3, 4 years down the road, as we start to look ahead, is that the best move? And I just don't know if potentially getting to the second round is worth that.
Yeah, I think it's tough. But I'd also like... Like when we talk about Brandon Ingram and you're saying, you know, I don't know if I want to pay him 40, 50 million bucks a year. It's kind of why I keep like just like crushing any hopes of going out and getting Zach LaVine. Like Zach LaVine doesn't make any sense to the Kings because of that. Because number one, he's always injured.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, it's just a financial. He's not worth the contract that he's paid.
That's right.
There's no way to build a team around it.
If Zach LaVine was making $15 million a year,
yeah,
great.
25. You know, the Kings tried to sign him to a they gave him an offer sheet at 4-year, $82 million a few years ago. Like, that is where he's reasonable.
Yeah.
It's when he got this next contract that was like ridiculous. And
they maxed him, right?
Yeah, well, they maxed him. Yeah. I mean, he's making like, there's a point where he's making over $50 million bucks. And it's like, look, that's just not conducive to team building.
That's crazy.
Especially for a guy who does not get, like, either doesn't get to the playoffs, his team doesn't get to the playoffs, or he doesn't mm-hmm. play in the playoffs because he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just too many question marks about a player like that. Makes it tough.
And that's where, so somebody in the, I believe it was it Tom L in the, oh no, Joey Griggs in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 said, what's a realistic trade for Jimmy Butler to the Kings? And that's another one where, I love the idea. Like, having a guy like Jimmy Butler would be great for the Kings now and long term, just from a mindset perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that you are making yourself significantly better given what you would need to give up to acquire Jimmy Butler.
Well, and even if you did make yourself better, you're making yourself better for such a short amount of time, and you're going all in on a player who, number one, does not fit your style of play at all. Yeah. Although that's okay. I mean, Jimmy Butler is a very, very talented player, but you're also looking at a player. This is like short-term gratification.
He turns 35 before the start of next season.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't make any sense for a team like the Kings. That's going all in as in, we're going to win a title this year. And if you were a team that made it to the second or third round of the playoffs and Jimmy Butler is a potential add, then okay, maybe he does get you over mm-hmm. the top. Playoff Jimmy gets you over the top mm-hmm. and you're this team that like could win it all. But I don't think that that's the case. I mean, that's, you're not that team yet. And that's a problem.
just a reminder, the Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler on their roster, 44 wins last year, 46 this year. And they had to get into the playoffs in both instances via the play-in. In both instances, they lost the first play-in game. And they made their little run to the finals last year. That was a lot of fun. But did anybody think they were going to beat Denver?
I did not.
I didn't.
No.
And Jimmy Butler is incredible in the postseason, and I understand he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I just don't. If he was 30, maybe?
Yeah. It's
but
just,
he turns 35 before the start of next year.
Yeah. It's really tough. It's really tough to see a world in which that isn't just like putting a Band-Aid on something and hoping that it works. And then even if it does work, you're talking about one and done. You talk maybe two and done. And and I don't know if it works to the point where you can win a championship, which, I mean, would you do it all to win one championship? Maybe you would.
Definitely.
Yeah, but especially since you haven't won one since like 1951.
I would if you told me there were moves the Kings could make that would win them the title this year and then put them in purgatory for the next 10, I would do it immediately.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Without hesitation.
I would agree with you, but at the same time, like, it's got to be the right move for a player that is the perfect, you know, and again, we're talking about a guy who not only is he 35, but for the most part, he plays between like 55 and 60 games a year. Oh, yeah.
He hasn't played more than 65 games since he left Chicago in the 2016-17 season.
Yeah, the only time he's only played over 70 twice in his career.
Yeah, and once as a 23-year-old when he didn't start for Chicago.
Yeah, that's wild.
No, so I the whole like I would do it to win a title this year. That's in a hypothetical world where somebody can guarantee me a championship.
Yeah,
but that's obviously not reality, and I don't think Jimmy Butler, again, because you're acquiring him via trade, what you would be giving up and then bringing him in. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're not a title contender to me at that point.
Now, see, I would say that's where with Ingram, I could see that if you had this team gelled together, and if your top five players are Fox, Sabonis, Ingram,
Keegan,
and Malik Monk.
That's interesting.
That could be a potential like championship contender.
Mm-hmm.
But and wouldn't just be one year. As long as you were able to lock up Ingram long term, you could conceivably see that being like a 5-year run where you got a shot, right? But there's no guarantees.
Yeah.
There's just not.
All right. Brandon Ingram. I'm sure this is not the last time his name will come up.
No.
I'm sure it's not the last time Jimmy Butler's name will come up, or Paul George, who apparently Steve Ballmer wants to keep the band together. I don't know.
All right.
We'll get to that later. That seems to be the theme of the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into it right now because you got a break in a second, so we'll talk about it next. But the amount of teams, because we're trying to pick out the teams. Okay, this team fell short this year. That team fell short this year. Who's on that roster that the Kings might be able to acquire if they're looking to blow it up or get some cap relief? Who are some players the Kings could, you know, take off their hands and improve their roster without giving up too much? It's kind of going to be the theme of the offseason for us. But then there are so many teams that we're like, oh, yeah, they should be blowing it up. And then you find out, like, nope, not their plan.
Mm.
And that's really, really interesting. We will talk about that because team building in the NBA is hard, man. And there's no specifically right way to do it, but it feels like there's a lot of teams doing it the wrong way.
I agree.
That's all. Word to the Knicks. Don't trade everything for Devin Booker. That's all. Okay. The Clippers, the Bucks, the Suns, all of these teams who are supposed to be title contenders this year are now out of the playoffs. Can the Kings take advantage? Should the Kings take advantage? And we'll continue talking team building. Also, a member of the Golden State Warriors looks like he may be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And we will talk about that as well, coming up on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.